Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The Staff and Graf Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
In links or salad?
You know what? You're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby.
Rachel, we are here. You had an interesting day today. You were just telling me before we started. Why don't you let the listeners in on the trials and tribulations of Rachel Dory?
I'm in my rotting era, in as Taylor Swift would say. That's the era that I'm in the sense that I have fuzzy socks pulled up over my pants because I'm still trying to warm up. And why am I trying to warm up? Because I had to spend 2 hours outside on the property searching for my dog, who decided that today was the opportune day to go gallivanting around the property after we got 4 inches of snow. And I was looking for him, and then I had to go like on TV, and I was like, well, I gotta go on TV, so I guess this is gonna have to resume later. I go back outside, and he's swimming in the pond.
How long does it take you to find your dog?
Like a solid almost 2 hours.
Okay, so let's just take
a
moment.
But he wasn't in, let's to be clear, he wasn't in the pond the whole time. He was roaming around the property. And then as I went out, when I went out for the second time post-TV to like search, I went out the front door because I wanted to make sure he hadn't gone off the property. And then as I was like walking towards the gate, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to check the back one more time because maybe he like came back around like while I was gone. And lo and behold, this little dick is swimming in one of the ponds on the property. And I was like, get out. Like, it's so cold.
I feel like it's my responsibility as your co-host to hold you accountable for the fact that you are complaining about trying to find your dog when you are on a property that takes you 2 hours to find a dog, is big enough to take 2 hours to find a dog, and then has multiple ponds on it. Because you said one of the ponds.
Yes,
you got
three.
Real Zach Hyman problems going on.
It has two ponds that like freeze so we can skate in the winter, and then it has like the oak, not the oak ridges, the whatever green belt ravine running through like the back of the property. I don't know, but anyways, so then he gets out, he listens because he's like a good, like he's good from that sense. If I say like get out or like come here, he will.
I thought you were saying that your dog listens to our podcast.
No, he does not listen to our podcast. I mean, he's listening to us recording it right now. But what does he do? What is the best course of action after getting out of a lake? It's to go in the snowy mud pile and roll around. So then I had to give my dog a shower, and I got myself all wet and all gross. The towels are ruined because I'm a dummy and I used a white towel. So things are going really well. And my dad sent me a picture today of him just chilling in Africa with a bunch of like giraffes and elephants.
Yeah, but giraffes and elephants get plenty dirty as well. You would have had to wipe them off, and I guarantee you it's
they're not
easier.
Coming in my house though.
then you're not having fun. I've always said that people always ask, if you could have any pet, like any animal's a pet in the world, what would you have? And my answer is always two different answers. One is, if you could take away the possibility that it could literally rip me in half, I would love to have a pet gorilla, because we'd just be pals and we'd hang out.
Okay.
Like we'd just chill. We'd maybe like watch the game, share a couple beers, you know. And the other one would be an elephant. I would love to just just to hang out with an elephant. And so,
do you know elephants are among the most dangerous animals? Like in a fight, like if you
I know they will trample you. There's the famous story of an elephant who is killed by a poacher, or no, whose mom was killed by a poacher, and that elephant traveled, I think it was 70 miles to the funeral of the poacher, because the poacher died like shortly after. It traveled 70 miles to the funeral of the poacher just to stomp on its coffin. like that's why
my kind of elephant right there.
They do not forget. Like they're legit. Elephants are mentally complex enough to like hold grudges. They're like crows. Like if you piss off a crow will recognize you, and a crow will fuck with you for the rest of your life.
Like, that's terrifying.
It's crazy. So always be nice to crows.
Side note, as we jump back into things that are on topic, my dog wants to go outside again. Do I allow him to gallivant on the property?
No, because I'm no, not just because I don't like because you you don't want to do another stupid shower or whatever, but I'm very hungry and we are not pausing. Anyway, we're back to the podcast. For those of you who did for like I wish we had like a Patreon or something so we could keep that in. Like but like for those of you who weren't listening, which is literally everyone but Rachel and I, we just had a very interesting conversation about societal choices.
Maybe we'll post it on the
TikTok. sure. You know what? Keep that because it's all recorded. We'll do that. Anyway, I don't know how to segue into the fact that college free agents are signing. So I'm just going to say that college free agents are signing. We know there's a bunch of big ones. I mean, you know, Scott Morrow, it's a huge one. There's a bunch of other, but the two, I would say two sort of like undrafted free agents that are signing with.
Yeah. The ones that were actually like, that didn't have their rights belonging to anybody.
They were free agents, you know, really. We have Colin Graf. He was the consensus top undrafted college free agent that was going to like sort of court teams. He apparently had offers from 20 teams. He narrowed it down to 6, and then he chose the San Jose Sharks. Guys, 34 in 34 games, he had 22 goals, 27 assists, 49 points, which is actually a step back from the year before when he had like 58 points. What are we looking at with Colin Graf? Because it clearly seems like he chose the Sharks because they have the quickest pathway to actual NHL playing time.
Yeah, he's going to go right in their top 6 because they literally don't have anyone else. The thing with Colin Graf is you're right. Like, he was highly sought after. I think he's probably like the most sure bet out of the free agents. Like, Scott Morrow is removed from the conversation because he was a Carolina Hurricanes like high end draft pick. But Colin Graf was, I think Elite Prospects had him rated like 5th or 6th in their college free agent. He was somebody that teams were looking at dating back to last season. And yeah, going to San Jose makes a ton of sense, right? The path to NHL games there, I mean, he's going to step right in. Obviously, he's probably going to get a few practices first, but he's going to step right in. And he's somebody where, like, in talking to scouts around the game, it was actually interesting. Because like you said, he seemed like the consensus, one of the top prospects. But quite a few scouts said that he's a lower ceiling player than Jacob Quillian, but he's a more sure bet. So in the sense of like, they think he probably tops out at like a lower end second line player, but like could be a really good third line player, which is fantastic. Because honestly, like a lot of those times, you get those players in the second and third round. Well, now you're not having to expend a draft pick and you're getting a player that you're going to be able to give basically runway to in order to see what he's got. And in San Jose, they're going to have the best path for that, right? He was never going to get that chance in other teams that were interested in him. Like Minnesota, you're not going on the top power play unit there.
No.
Vancouver, you're probably not going in the lineup there. You're probably playing in the AHL. Like some other teams where like Boston, probably not going in the lineup there either. Yeah. So if you want to play on a contender, you're probably not playing per se. Whereas if you want to get a kickstart on your NHL career,
maybe
kind of
get
your feet wet.
Like for maybe like the rest of this year, and like they might stick him in, like they would have maybe stuck him in the AHL for the entire next season, 2024, 2025.
Right, exactly. Like, you might be waiting, and we'll get to his teammate in a second. But I think this is a great job by San Jose because, one, you've got to convince a guy like, hey, we're not a good team. We're one of the worst teams in the history of the salary cap era, but we have an opportunity. But a lot of times when agents are meeting with teams and you're having a discussion about signing a college free agent or a CHL free agent, you have to show them what you can offer them outside of just you can step into the lineup. Like, I would want to know what your development path looks like for me, right? Because you have some teams that are absolutely a dog pile at developing, but then you have other teams that are excellent at it. So I would want to know what you as a team view my development path as and whether I think that that could work for me. And so I think Mike Greer deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah.
He's done a really good job with this San Jose rebuild. If you think about the assets that he sent out and what he's gotten back and signing guys like Henry Thrun. Now he's got Colin Graf. Like, he's made a ton of really good under the radar moves. And then he hasn't missed per se on any of like the big moves, like the Carlsons, the Hurdles kind of thing.
I mean, Hurdle was like, we talked about it. Like, Hurdle was a weird trade. Like, he gave like,
but
he,
it was the right move.
It was definitely the right move. Like, but I just feel like they didn't get enough for Thomas Hurdle, especially if you're going to retain for 6 years. But going back to this. Yeah. Like, look, the good thing about San Jose is they've always been highly regarded as an organization. Like, they might not be great on the ice right now, but what's been great about San Jose is everyone knows it rocks to live there. You know, like they have a good arena. They, when they are good, they have a very passionate fan base. I mean, that,
like, and it's like loud in there.
Yeah, it's the Shark Tank. Like, it was considered like one of the loudest, if not the loudest, buildings in the league when they're rocking. Like, you know, when the Sharks used to make it to the conference final every year before they would bow out. Like, that place would be crazy. And you know what? On top of that too, like, they have a good GM. They have a direction that they're going into, which I think is what he wants. Like, Colin Graf signed for three reasons, I'd say. One is geography. He gets to live in California, in San Jose. It's a great place to live, especially if you're making a ton of money. Two, immediate playing time. Like, he gets to, like you said, he gets to step into their top six right away. And three, he probably feels like he's getting in on the ground floor of what could be a very good team in like 3-4 years. When he's at the height of his potential because of how much draft capital they have, you know, how many prospects they have and are going to get, the financial flexibility they're about to get to with a bunch of these big names coming off the books, or like, cause they'll probably move on from Logan Couture this offseason. They'll probably find a way to get out of Vlasic somehow. Like, there's about to be a lot of, it'll be tough. I don't know how they'll do it, but they'll probably find a way. Even if they might have to like Roby to Island him or something. Like, if they can try and figure out how to, I don't know, but that will be Greer's, like, he's going to try, you know,
magnum opus.
Exactly. That will be, his piece de resistance, you know? And so like he's thinking of, he's in tech country, tech startup country. So he thinks he's getting in on the ground floor. And I think that's pretty cool. Now, Jacob
Quillen. The startup.
Exactly. Ground floor of a startup. It's great. Jacob Quillen. Good for him, man. Going to Toronto. Now, this is definitely far less playing time, guaranteed playing time here.
Well, he's going to play. It just ain't going to be in the NHL.
He'll play in Toronto. Just won't be with the Toronto Maple Leafs. It'll be with the Toronto Maple Marlies. That's great, and also the fact that the Leafs signed one of the top undrafted college free agents, not too shabby. They've kind of, look, the Leafs, laugh as much as you want, but the Leafs have had some of the best success with college free agents. And for a long time, until I would say maybe Chris Kreider came along, they had the best UDFA or undrafted.
Chris Kreider wasn't a free agent; he was.
No,
first round pick.
You're right. Yeah. So sorry. They might still
like,
have.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're talking about Jake Gardner.
My wires got crossed. Yes, Jake Gardner. But Tyler Bozak for a long time was the best. And, you know, there could be an argument that he might even still be the best undrafted college free agent signing of all time. That guy came in and carved out a like 15 year career. He won a cup. He was a top six center for like 2/3 or, you know, like maybe even more of
his
career.
At least 2/3 of his career, yeah.
Yeah. like he was good. And so
also not Jake Gardner. He was drafted by Anaheim. I got my wires crossed with Dan DeKeyser.
Yes.
Danny DeKeyser is the guy I was thinking about.
And poor Danny DeKeyser's body just blew, like his back just
he was blew good up. For quite a few years.
In prime, man, people, there's been a big trend on TikTok today, this week or month or whatever, of like, it's like, if you're a girl, if you have a boyfriend, ask your boyfriend about prime Derrick Rose and watch him get emotional. Like, and like, there's so many things. Yeah. Like, it's like, hey, babe, like, what about prime Derrick Rose? And the guy's just like eating. He'll just stop eating and be like, prime Derrick Rose, man. Oh, God. All these point guards.
And prime Derrick Rose was sick.
Yeah, he was incredible. But like, prime Danny DeKeyser, man. That's how you get your boyfriend emotional.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking about. But yeah, Tyler Bozak, you make a great point. That's one of the best college free agent signings. If I'm not mistaken, Martin St. Louis was a college free agent signing. And pretty good.
Yeah, that's not that's too shabby. That's
a pretty good hockey player, if not, I do say so myself.
Absolutely. So yeah, like there's Jacob Quillen. He's coming in. He'll play with the Marlies. Now, the Marlies have a very weird situation right now. Because, and I'm surprised I didn't put this in the prep, but I just didn't. I frankly am too depressed about this to even research why it happened. But the Newfoundland Growlers shut down this week.
Yeah.
And so all of the guys who are on AHL deals who are on the Growlers are now going to go to the Marlies. Right. You know, like at least to be around the team. So the Marlies will have like 50 dudes just chilling. Like I literally don't know how they're going to find space to seat them all. And so they will likely prioritize Quillen. Like they'll put him in the lineup and all that. Like, cause
that was 100% promised when they signed.
Oh yeah, exactly. But like there is
also, he's better than any dude playing in the ECHL. Let's be super clear about that.
Yeah, absolutely. But like there's a lot of bodies on the Marlies right now. So he will, he'll at least be around a lot of dudes. Now, as you said, this guy has more, you would say like potential
higher ceiling.
Yeah. What are we looking at with Jacob Quillen?
He does one thing that the Leafs could really use. He scores big goals in the playoffs.
He sure does. And do you think him and Matt, like, I know Nyes was asked about it, but do you think him and Matthew Nyes are going to, like, it's going to be like that Larry Bird, Michael Jordan clip from Last Dance where they just dap each other up and they're like, you bitch, fuck you, like, kind of thing when they're...
If the Leafs are smart, if the Leafs social media team is smart, they do a TikTok with those two where it's like, excuse me, bruh.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
You're excused. Like,
you're excused, and I'm not your bruh.
And have them wear, like, have Matty Nyes wear his Minnesota jersey and have Jacob Quillen wear his Quinnipiac jersey. Like, do that. That would be so fun. Honestly, like, he's a legitimately good hockey player. Like, he's got the ceiling here. I think. Obviously going to be tough to find your way in the top six in Toronto, but I think he's probably the ideal player where if you can develop him and the Leafs, they can do that.
They need cheap guys too.
They need cheap guys. I think he's a guy that can come in and play on the third line and kind of be an important piece. He's somebody where I would look at and say, depending on how he plays with the Marlies, if the Leafs run into injury trouble in the playoffs, he's somebody who I think could step in the lineup because he's been playing important hockey for the last month or so-ish, so he's already like revved up to 11.
Do you think he would then leapfrog like the Abruzzese's and the Steves's and even like...
He's ahead of them.
Yeah?
He's ahead
already?
Of them. Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Jacob Quillen is maybe not Steves, but he's ahead of Abruzzese. I think Abruzzese's like smart, but Jacob Quillen has a different skill set. Wow. And I think he's a higher ceiling player. I would say based on his habits and how he plays, I would not be surprised if NHL coaches trusted him more than they trust maybe their younger other players because he's had, I believe, 4 years at Quinnipiac to really develop a two-way game, to develop pro habits and details and things like that. Whereas some other young players who are maybe 19, 20 years old haven't had that opportunity quite yet. And they're developing them at the professional level as opposed to at the NCAA level. So I think the adjustment from NCAA is a lot easier than the adjustment from the CHL, because in the CHL and in Europe, like you're getting meals cooked for you. You're getting basically everything you need. Whereas in the NCAA, you go to class, you cook your own meals, like you do all that. I have friends who've played NCAA hockey. My stepfather played for 4 years. Like, it's different. You actually learn how to be an adult, and to a degree, you learn how to be a professional. And so I think that's going to serve Quillian well. I think he's got a pretty high ceiling. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him in the playoffs if injuries cropped up, but I think you're probably looking at a guy who's going to push for a spot next year.
That's exciting for Leafs fans. That'd be great. All right, Rachel, Jeff Skinner made history this week, and he made history in two ways. In one way, he became the 393rd player in NHL history to play 1,000 games. I think that's amazing, and I think based on what his stock was in the league 3 years ago, that's incredibly improbable, because keep in mind, the Seattle Kraken could have had him for free. He was exposed and in the expansion draft. He had one of, if not the worst contract in the entire league and at the time, and he completely turned himself around into like a borderline point per game player, a bona fide top six guy. It's great. But Rachel, the second thing that he did, and this is the real important thing, is that Jeff Skinner is the only player in NHL history to play 1,000 games without having ever made the playoffs. That's fucking crazy. Pardon my
That's
French.
That's just so...
He's the
that is
only...
so hard.
I thought, like, here I am. Here I was. Like, I had to Google it before the show. And I was just going to wing it because I was certain that him and Jay Bomeister shared that. But Bomeister came, like, I think he was like 30 games away from hitting that, but he then finally broke through. Skinner, 1,000 games in the NHL, and he has never once played a playoff game. That's crazy.
And he got traded out of Carolina just before they got actually good. And boy, they could probably, like, they probably could have used his scoring, if we're being honest. But...
In the salary cap, rosters are like a like Tetris, like, you know, one or like Jenga, like, or a butterfly effect. There you go. We're like, if his $9 million is on the books, like, who can't they sign or whatever? So who I was going to ask, do the Canes like potentially win the Stanley Cup if they have Jeff Skinner?
No, because that means they
roster.
Probably don't have Brady Shea.
Yeah. Exactly. Or Slavin, or, you know, like,
No, they would have Slavin. They have Pesci, but Shea was somebody that they acquired and then had to pay, whereas like Slavin and Pesci were always theirs. But I think, like, Jeff Skinner, you look at it, he's somebody that, like, a fantastic personality, really good with the media, always seems upbeat, and like the behind the scenes stuff, the between two stalls is
incredible.
Incredible. And I need them to consistently do it, because I feel like it would get a ton of traction and people would consume that kind of content. Like, they love it. If you look at the Bruins with the behind the B, like, people love that content. You love all the trending stuff that teams are doing. This is kind of a thing that was created, and I think they need to, like, bring it back, because they have personalities on the team. Alex Tuck is a personality. Tage Thompson's a personality. Jeff Skinner's a personality. Dylan Cousins is a personality. Like, they have guys who can do it. But it was really nice to see that, one, they were wearing the goat heads, because those are iconic.
Those are awesome.
And two, the entire team, it kind of felt like rallied around them. They smoked Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely laid the sticks to the Caps. And, like, I was honestly surprised Skinner didn't score or get a point, because usually on big nights, he's the guy that gets it done. But frankly, really nice to see his teammates put on that kind of performance. It really shows how much he's, like, valued in the room. And I mean, people can say, like, oh yeah, like, it's just another game and they just played well. And it's like, okay, yeah, like, maybe. But the flip side of that is they're playing a team that's fighting tooth and nail to get in the playoffs. And they came out and arguably put on their best performance in the last 20 games. And, like, that's not really a coincidence at that point.
Yeah.
When you're rallying around, and this, of course, there's money on the board, and guys get up for it because you want to have your guys back, especially when it's a guy who's played 1,000 games without making the playoffs. Like, I think what you saw there was kind of a glimpse of what the Sabres could be.
Absolutely. And they're not, look, they're not fully out of it yet. They still have a chance. As slim as it is.
Pittsburgh Washington game on Thursday night is going to be huge. Tonight. By the time you're all hearing this podcast,
it will have happened.
It will have happened. And if Pittsburgh wins in regulation, they're 1 point behind the Caps. Obviously, the Caps would have a game in
hand.
But if the Caps win, it's a 5 point delta. So it's basically
like Pittsburgh season's on the line. Like if they lose
tonight,
they basically need the Caps to like almost lose out to do it. It's crazy. But
Islanders and the Red Wings.
So I love how you mentioned that because the Eastern playoff, the Eastern Conference like sort of playoff race for the final wild card spot. It's crazy in the sense that it for up until, you know, Pittsburgh kind of going on a bit of a run here, like it seemed like no one wanted it. Everyone was playing like garbage. The Washington Capitals, you mentioned that they got beat 6-2. They have a minus 30 goal differential. And they're in a playoff spot right now.
That's not great, guys. They have a minus
30. I believe they would have the highest goal differential of a team to have made the playoffs. Like it's insane. So yeah, Pittsburgh and Washington, obviously two crazy rivalries. They are missing, some Jake Guentzel and Evgeny Kuznetsov flavor in that, as they are both on the same team in the same division. That's not either of those teams, and I will never get over how weird that is. But I just thought, you know, like we just have a little chat about rivalries because last night everyone on the New York Rangers fought everyone on the New Jersey Devils. Literally 2 seconds into the game. Everyone dropped their gloves, and Jimmy Vesey and Curtis Lazar, funnily enough, were listed as the first fight. Two guys I would not,
which is objectively not true. Rempe and McDermott had their gloves off before the puck was on the ice.
So 10 players line up at the start of every hockey game. Rachel, I'm not sure if you know this. Let me mansplain hockey to you. Because you know you have a small female brain. And it's important that I use slow speech cadence and
I need you to name all players on the ice.
Yes, please do. And so literally everyone dropped the gloves. Everyone fought. Half of Twitter thought it was awesome. Half of Twitter thought it was terrible. And so I thought it was hilarious, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of concussions, but at the same time, I am a big fan of a bunch of dudes just wailing on each other for no reason.
That was a full-on Donnybrook.
That
and the
was.
Coaches yelling at each other. Like
that's
this
what I love. I
why,
love when the coaches get
this
into
is
it.
Why we need love it. I need a Rangers Flyers playoff matchup because I need Torts and Laviolette screaming at each other. I need it. Like I need air. I need it. Like
yeah. Well, they both used to coach those each other's teams, which was also interesting too. Like, but it's. Yeah, so obviously the Rangers and the Devils hate each other, and it sucks that the Devils suck because that would be an incredible playoff series. Rangers Devils again.
It was last year,
and it was awesome. Went to
the best
games.
Playoff series of the first round.
Absolutely. But let's talk about rivalries because there are a couple in the NHL. But I want to start off with a hot take, something that might be controversial.
Okay. And
I mean, ever since you mentioned rivalries for the show, I've been stewing over it. The Leafs don't have a rivalry. And let me explain why. Hear me out.
Okay.
A rivalry, you can have a rival. For example, any guy who's dating Florence Pugh, that's my rival, right? But that guy doesn't know who I am.
Exactly.
So the Leafs have a lot of rivals, and a lot of teams view the Leafs as a rival, but I don't think the Leafs have a rivalry with anybody. I don't think Boston goes in Toronto and goes, oh man, it's the Leafs. We got to play these guys. Oh, we hate them. Oh, this. I don't think they give a shit about the Leafs. I don't think Tampa does either.
You're wrong on that one.
I think they did. Okay, so maybe after last,
that's incorrect.
After last playoff series, I would say there is
Florida.
I don't think Florida cares.
See, I think Florida Toronto has the makings. Like, if they play another playoff series this spring,
but it's definitely
then we're
not
talking
there yet.
Different. But it's not there yet.
Look,
I
how
think
Florida
there are
played the Leafs this week. I don't think they go into Toronto and they go like, oh boy, here's our big rivals. We got to take them on. It's same with Boston. Tampa, I think maybe they are the exception to the rule just because they got beat by the Leafs and because Mikhail Sergachev sounded real friggin' spicy in the summer about it. Or at least like pissy in the summer about it. But and then I look at the flip side and I go like, I think the Jets probably think the Leafs are their rivals, but the Leafs don't care about the Winnipeg Jets, you know? Like
I feel like you have to be in the same conference at least.
I don't the Habs probably suck. The Leafs don't care.
Okay, but here's the thing. There's a difference. I was talking about this with Greg Wyshynski recently. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between rivalries that are heat hot. So right now, New York, New Jersey.
And like
heat hot rivalry.
Dormant rivalry.
Literal volcano. And then there are historical rivalries. Where like the Toronto-Montreal rivalry is not just a rivalry between the Leafs and the Habs. At one point, it was a rivalry between English-speaking Canada and French-speaking Canada.
It was a
Canada.
Race riot. Like, it was...
Like, yeah. Like, we're talking about a rivalry that goes deeper than the hockey team.
But it's dormant right now.
But I don't necessarily think it's as dormant as you think it is, because they did have the COVID playoff series, and it got pretty nasty.
Who's left on that team?
No, but what I'm saying is there has been a playoff series, and that's really what you need for a rivalry. But I will agree with you that the Toronto-Montreal rivalry is more of a historical rivalry than it is heat hot right now. Once Montreal gets good, that rivalry is going to be back, right? Whereas like
the QEW rivalry is not on it. The Sens, like the Leafs and Sens are the definition of nonsense.
Yeah. It's little brother.
It's the definition of the Mad Men meme of the guy in the elevator being like, I feel sorry for you to Don Draper. And then Don Draper going, I don't think about you at all. Like it's like
yeah,
that's
pretty much
that's it. Like Sens, I see the amount of times I see Sens fans going on Twitter and being like, oh, like, you know, this rate stat of Tim Stützle was the same as like, I don't know, Mitch Marner, but one is labeled not that great and the other one's considered like elite. Like, you know, we're coming for you, Toronto. Like the Leafs are like, I don't care about you. You play in a fucking cornfield. I don't care. So I think there are a lot of teams that view the Leafs as their rival. And I think the Leafs view a lot of teams as their rival, but maybe outside of Tampa. And just because the Leafs finally beat them, I think that there's a lot, like at least on the ice right now, because there's just like, you know, the historical rivalry.
See, no, I think there is one outside of the Tampa one, just because of last playoff, there is one rivalry that is, it gets nasty every time. And it's Toronto-Boston. Like, if you look at it from the playoff series of the past, I'm going to tell you, you are wrong. 100%.
Boston goes to Toronto and goes, like, we got
to
get up for Toronto.
Speaking to people with the Bruins and in and around that organization, that they view the Leafs as, like, their rival as well.
Really?
So, yeah, absolutely. Well, think about it.
Doesn't seem like
Jake DeBrusk still on the team. Brad Marchand still on the team. Up until last year, Patrice Bergeron on the team. David Pastrnak on the team. Brandon Carlo's been in a ton of those playoff series. Like, if you think about it, a lot of those guys that were there are still there. Morgan Riley,
since 2013. He didn't play, but exactly. He was there. Yeah.
He was there. Okay, now you have Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews. Like, they've participated in these series, right? So the difference between, I guess, the Montreal and the Boston one is there have been three playoff series within the last basically decade where it has been heated, to say the least. There have been suspensions. There have been game sevens. There have been choking moments. There have been – it's had everything, and I think that's what a rivalry needs. I personally am hoping we get a Boston-Toronto series because I want that again. It's been a few years. I want that again. I just think it when they play, all hell breaks loose and both fan bases get absolutely insane. And I want to see it now with guys like Ryan Reeves and Bobby McMahon, guy like Simone Benoit, Jake McCabe. Like, I want to see that because I think it's going to be a lot nastier this time around than it was when the Leafs were quote unquote soft. And don't forget, Sheldon Keefe is still behind the bench,
which is the most improbable part of it all. I have another rivalry for you. It's popped up, I would say, even this season, but it's become very interesting. The Jets and the Wild.
That's a geographical and a we hate you. Yeah, I love it.
It's literally Ryan Hartman. That's who started that. And that's who will keep that fire burning. They both hate each other.
Blake Wheeler made comments about the Wild when he was captain of the Jets as well. Like, this has been, I feel like that's one of the ones where it's been simmering. And then the Ryan Hartman thing basically like kicked it into overdrive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would be kind of fun if they met in the playoffs at some point soon.
It would be very cool. Do you have any off the top of your dome?
I mean, Rangers Devils
one. Non-obvious ones, though.
I've worked in the Rangers Devils rivalry, and like that was, like the Battle of the Hudson River. I remember when we made the trade for Michael Grabner with the Rangers. People were mad at Ray because they were like, "How dare you make a trade with the Rangers?" But the other thing you have is off ice, there's a rivalry. Like, we've got fans punching other fans out over this rivalry, which is like an objectively insane thing to do. Don't do that. But when you have a rivalry where you are getting in fistfights in the stands, that's a rivalry. Like, that is a proper rivalry. People choking people out. Like, obviously you should not be doing that, but when you're that heated, I don't think you can say it's not a rivalry. I watched Damon Severson drop the gloves last year.
We had him on in a playoff series. He's one of the most docile human beings I've ever met. He's just a chill dude.
I know. He's such a chill dude. But when push comes to shove, like, things happen. And like, you see things that you generally don't see. John Marino fought Keandre Miller on Wednesday night. Miller did like the "you're little" chirp, listen, which was so funny.
I love John Marino. That was
bad idea.
That was among the most embarrassing turtles I've ever seen. He was just like, "Yeah," like he literally had his hands up like that. Like, come on.
Not as bad as Nick Cousins though, because Nick Cousins was actually ducking from something. Matty Rempe, as somebody who I have a ton of respect for, said to me the other day, "That's what happens when he runs around and acts a fool." And I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of fair." Because if you think about it, in the first game, he knocked out Nathan Bastian. In the second game, he got suspended for hitting Jonas Siegenthaler. And in the third game, he played 2 seconds because he incited a line brawl. So he has single-handedly taken that rivalry from about a 7 to a 9.5. Yeah. Like, that is, I genuinely cannot believe this is going to come out of my mouth. I wish the Devils were in the playoffs, because all I want is a Devils-Rangers playoff series. Like, after last season and now with Matty Rempe doing his shtick, could you imagine the fireworks that would come out of a Rangers-Devils playoff series in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Like, how many penalty minutes? How many penalties?
I think that
it'd be
they would
be 1,000 penalty minutes.
It'd be
in
zero
the
because it's the playoffs and they don't call penalties. There would be two.
Well,
and it
I
would
feel
be
like
Wes
McCauley
calling a pick, you know, in the final 2 minutes of the game. That's what it would be.
Imagine
would be
you have minutes. A line brawl and zero penalties are assessed.
Yeah. Like, they're, I mean, Tampa, Florida, like, was legit.
Oh, that's
they had like a legit rivalry for a bit, especially when they played each other. We obviously have to go.
That's
Philly.
A good one. Yeah. Like, I mean, when Sam Reinhart was fighting, I was like, wait, what?
we always have to go Philly, Pittsburgh. Like that.
That's another historical one.
Like, and I would say that like they still hate each other. Like, maybe not as like they're not. But like the playoff series that they played against each other.
Geographical one. Because like the people in Philly are a different breed.
They're both from Pennsylvania, but they could not be more different. People like they're both in the same state, they're both relatively close to each other, they could not be more different on a human level. like people from Philly and people from Pittsburgh. Like if you put, like,
it's crazy.
I'm trying to think of like a Philly guy. Like you put like,
okay. All you need to know is that in Philly, there are things that you can do as a Philadelphia sports fan that are simply not acceptable anywhere else in North America. And they resemble like soccer hooliganism in Europe. Yeah. That's what I would equate them to. And when you are doing things that get you equated to the hooligans in soccer in Europe.
It took a while, but we have our first soccer mention on the podcast.
A different breed.
Yeah. No, it's like, I would say you put like the podcast guy who like said the stuff about Kevin Hayes and you put him next to Jesse Marshall. They're two different breeds of human being, you know? Like Jesse is,
but
like,
even like their coaches are a microcosm of like their teams. Like you have Torts,
who is like, yeah,
Philly through and through.
Like, get and then you have head Brooksy, and then you have Mike Sullivan, who's
Mike
like
Sullivan.
He's just like I work at a steel mill. Like that's what whenever I see him, that's all I think of.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it's ones? One of those things where that's another like historical one. I feel like under the radar, Vegas, San Jose, they hate each other. And it stems from that 5-minute major in the playoffs that cost them the playoff series. And even though San Jose's not good, if you watch San Jose and Vegas games, like even this season, you can tell there's that extra pizzazz in the game. There's the extra gumption for the guys that have been there a while. Mark Edward Vlasic, Logan Couture. When Thomas Hurdle was playing, Thomas Hurdle. Those guys, when they were in the lineup playing.
Thomas Hurdle's on the other side now.
Yeah, it's very weird. I'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays out, because obviously now is a little bit more different than in the olden days. Like guys who played in Montreal didn't speak to guys who played for Boston, didn't speak to guys who played for Toronto in the offseason. Now they all hang out and like train together and go on their yachts together. They're not going for their like part-time job in the offseason because they're not being paid millions of dollars. And so I'll be interested to see as San Jose starts to get better, because they will. Same with the Ducks. Like the Ducks-Kings rivalry when we were younger was nasty.
It was. And you know,
like the rivalry in California was nasty.
In NHL 22, I think it is, or 20, might be 21. They have James Cebulski obviously being the commentator, and then they would bring on like if you play online, every game they would bring on Snoop Dogg as like a guest thing. But the thing is, if you play like 3-4 games a night, you're hearing Snoop Dogg say the exact same thing every game, which goes crazy. But he would always talk about, because he's from California, he would always talk about the Ducks Kings hatred for each other. Like, and so that is, I knew about it obviously because I'm like, you know, it was a bit before my, before my conscious time really, but like I grew up watching it and all that kind of stuff. But like, it is seared into my brain because every game before I learned how to turn it off, Snoop Dogg would come on and talk about the Ducks Kings rivalry every fucking game. And it would drive me crazy because it was the middle of COVID. You'd play like 3-5 games a night and it would just be every time be like, and we have Snoop Dogg here. It's hilarious.
That's a rivalry, but I feel like you're kind of right in the sense that there's not a ton of like heat hot rivalries right now. And I feel like we need, like, I remember when the NHL came out with this like divisional series idea.
It was all supposed to be about rivalries.
Well, it's accomplished effectively nothing. Mm-hmm. And so could we just have 1-8 again, please? Because like, that's what it should be. And just like, leave it. I don't know. I feel like this is as good of an argument for anything as for 1-8, because you've tried a decade of this divisional playoff situation and it's produced sweet fuck all. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best place we can possibly end the podcast. I think that's if in a perfect world, that'd be the last word uttered on this podcast today. But that's where we'll do it. We are, we'll be back on Tuesday. I nailed that. And so you can obviously follow us. Thank you, Rachel. Subscribe to us on YouTube, on Twitch, on any podcast catcher you have. We are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're on all of that. And once Rachel gets back downtown, we will be doing another Mike's Meals for One. I'll have to think about recipes and whatnot. But we will have more content coming out there. Before we go, though, obviously make sure to donate to Jumpstart, our charity of choice. Jumpstart helps economically disadvantaged children play team sports, which is a cause that is very near and dear to Rachel and I's heart. So all of the links, if you're able to donate, are in the description of this episode. So we urge you to do that. And Rachel, I'll see you on Tuesday.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.